For 7 seasons, Vincent Kartheiser made us hate him and occasionally even root for him as Blue Blood Pete Campbell on Mad Men. He was even one of the lucky few to get a happy ending when the drama took its final bow earlier this year. You are listening to TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby, and I'm going to just sort of, you know, pay tribute to Mad Men because I missed the show, and I know it just ended, but, you know, Pete Campbell, Vincent Kartheiser played Pete Campbell for 7 seasons, was one of the most fascinating characters because he did evolve, he did get better, he had a happy ending in the finale, or the penultimate episode to the finale, because he got a chance to reunite with Trudy and be a family man again. So I just thought, you know, what a great job Vincent Kartheiser did. And he didn't get a lot of, you know, Emmy nominations. He didn't win anything for it. But he still was great. He shaved his hairline back. He really got into the put on some pounds. And, you know, I thought that for in terms of unsung heroes on a show, and I know Vincent Kartheiser will be fine. He's a great actor. He'll get other stuff. But in terms of the show, because it's such an amazing cast, he didn't always get the sort of kudos that he deserved, and I thought he was great. So I'm just going to play this interview for you guys from a couple years ago when Vincent sat and talked to reporters about his sort of evolution or de-evolution, depending on how you looked at it, as Pete on Mad Men, which recently came to an end. Check it out.
...years than in the Roger Sterling years. You know, so you're right. I think that every character is as layered as Peter. But you're right. The evolution that you go through 20s to 30s, and I think even 30s to 40s, is much bigger than 40s to 50s and 50s to 60s. There is an evolution in those years. It's just it's a softening of the same character, mm-hmm. I think, in the 40s and 50s, whereas in the 20s and 30s, it's kind of a you're kind of testing that character, yeah. And you're blowing it up and expanding it and making it more powerful and so, yeah, we've had an opportunity. I've had the opportunity to also go through those years as Vincent Kartheiser. So not only has Pete Campbell been going through those changes and getting new responsibilities and taking on new challenges and getting rid of some of his childlike behavior and not getting rid of some of his childlike behavior. As a human being, I've also had there's been some synchronicity between those two things. And so,
like what?
You wait your turn. I'm joking around. Well, you know, I think there's just things you go through as a man in your late 20s. You know, you're still ambitious, but your testosterone starts to go. You know, not crazy like in your 50s, but you do see a remarkable change. I mean, you start saying no to sex sometimes. You know what I mean? There's times that, like, this, your priorities just shift. You know, in my own life, I think for Peter, his priorities have really been pushed into his work. Now, because I spent a lot of my teen and early 20s on really building a career, and I work a lot on Mad Men, and I work very hard, but then in my off time, in my hiatus, I'm pushing other things in my life. You know, and so there's been a little growth in my own life, a little maturation process that...
But it seems like Pete is a guy who, you know, any, it could have been anyone, but he pushed harder and he broke through and they brought him to the new firm. And
yeah.
He's a success now.
Well, the reason that they brought him was because he was already getting ready to leave. You know, when Ken was given head of accounts, he couldn't believe it. Because in his mind, Ken's a haircut, you know? And Ken really doesn't care that much about the job. Mm-hmm. You know, season two and three, he didn't give a shit. Aaron Staten does, of course. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Ken, you know. He's like, take it or leave it. If I get head of accounts, I get head of accounts. You know, no big deal. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, even last year they asked Ken to take his father's business on. And he's like, I won't mess with my real life. Pete will. Mm-hmm. Pete will sacrifice his wife's family, his family, his friend's family. Remember Hump or Humps? That's my nickname. What was this guy? What was that guy's nickname? I was Humps because it was Camel. Campbell the Camel. What was he? I forget now, but the guy with High Lie.
Oh,
so he would go into every part of his life to cultivate business, to push his agenda in this industry forward. And so when Ken gets the account, head of accounts, not only is he like, these people don't know what they're doing, but he's also like, fuck these people. So he's already going to leave. So when they take him on and they come to this new agency and now he has a partnership,
it gives him an opportunity to really start his stuff. And at the end of season four, I think 90% of accounts are his. And not just accounts that he inherited. Accounts he built. Accounts he went out, beat the pavement, shook hands. And he doesn't have what Roger Sterling has. He doesn't have charm and wit. People don't really like him because of the way he acts. I can relate to that as well. So he has to work extra hard. He has to work extra hard, and he has to work. He has to maybe do things that other people wouldn't need to do to get what he wants, and in essence, what the company wants. So then, yes, he is given a place of power in the company. Did I stray too far?
Yeah, no, it didn't stray. I guess the parallel I'm saying is that this has sort of become your career-defining role. This is the one that's pushed you over the top as well.
Yeah, you're right. There is that synchronicity in that. It is. It is, and it's been a very cool process to even have something that you can say that about. You know, people worry if you're going to get. Aren't you worried about getting character cast? No, that's like the greatest thing ever. You know, that means that they really believed what you did so well that they want to see it over and over again. And then that just creates a new challenge for me to break.
One of the big life changes we saw was Pete became a father last season. Does fatherhood affect him, soften him at all, or does it sort of drive him more to be more ambitious to provide for his family?
Yeah, I think it's the latter, because especially where where we were when the baby came. You know, right after the baby comes, Lucky Strike's gone, can't take on the aviation account, people are getting fired, owe $50,000 to keep the company afloat, a rich little spoiled wife wants a house. Yeah, I think it pushes him.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is to be a father, but I'm sure it was different then anyways, you know. I think with the understanding that most wives are going to stay home and take care of the kids, the burden is different. It's a different burden than I think for today's fathers. All my friends who are fathers do stuff that I don't think Pete ever put a baby Bjorn on. You know, I think Pete changed, you know, 2 to 10% of the diapers.
Yeah.
Different world.
Are we going to see more of Allison Brie this season?
I can't say who you will or will not see, but I love working with Allison. And
she was sort of like, I think, a little more background last season.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone's going to have some seasons where it's... And I like that about our show, actually, because you need to have a lot of characters, because there's a lot of great ideas that Matt has, and they might not fit every character. You know, one of the great things about Matt is if someone brings him a great idea, or if he has a great idea, he's not just going to put it in there. It needs to fit one of the characters. If it's not in the character to do something, he won't do it. So you need to have a lot of characters, and if you want to express a new idea, you need to bring in a new character, something like that. So if he gets on a run with one of the characters, I'd rather he fulfill that storyline than have to service everyone gets 10 minutes of camera time. That, you know, I think that can become so boring. You know, if you don't have anything to write for Pete Campbell 1 year, but you're putting him in every episode for 15 minutes with just like forcing your mind to come up with something. So, it's nice because, he'll have an idea for a story, a plot, and you really get to play it out, and you get an opportunity to kind of get a lot of work, or you are in the background. And you know what? Sometimes that's a lot harder. Sometimes I had season 3 and 4, I had a lot less than seasons 1 and 2. And it can be a lot more difficult to sit around for 2 weeks and then be called in to do a scene, and you're out of speed and focus, and you don't have a lot of information in the script about where you're coming from, but you don't really want to take up everyone's time with asking questions, and it can be even more difficult, you know. So, but yes, Allison was in the background a little bit more the last couple seasons, and
all I can say is that we love her on the show. You know, the reason she's in the background has nothing to do with her amazing talent. We see how talented she is. She's just great. And I love working with her. I think she's one of the finest young actresses around today. So I always pray that she's in the episodes. And it's really nice for Pete, too. You know, he needs someone to vent to. Yeah. And she's really been great for him in that way, because the first couple seasons he would do all this complaining at work. And that's – people don't like that, turns out. Turns out that bothers people, especially when you're complaining about them. So
– well, he's a boss now, right? That's your role is shifted. You can't – like when you're under them, you can complain more. Right?
Right. When you're a boss, you can just fire. When you're complaining is more like, do it now. Right. Yeah.
So – sorry.
No. Good luck. Go ahead.
The thing I love about you and Allison is you have great chemistry, but you guys have these sweet faces with these big old eyes, and they're like – your facial expressions like feed off each other. Like, I used to love the scenes you guys would have together, because you just always had the best facial expressions. And you were saying that you were in less scenes, but I felt like you did more with your face. You're constantly like,
you felt I did more with my face last season.
For instance, when Don came in and said, we gotta get rid of this aviation contract, you're like, I mean, it was just constant, like the eyebrows and the eyes.
Was it too much?
No, it was perfect.
Well, I've never been accused of underacting. several times I'll do a take and people look at me and go, subtle. You know, I'm from Minnesota and we're pretty expressionistic.
I love it.
Yeah. What? She's great. Yeah, she does have big eyes. Big, beautiful eyes to gaze into, but she's very I like when she gets all, oh, Peter, no. I just don't know.
Has this role grown to the point now when people stop you, they talk about this first, or do they still go back to the Angel days? Or can you tell a difference? Are they completely different fans, maybe? That,
or do they recognize you?
It's that. I mean, you know... It's funny because I think if you're – you know what really breaks it for you? I just did a movie with Cillian Murphy, and I was talking to him, and he was like, man, your show's huge. It's the worst Irish accent ever. But he goes, man, your show's huge, because I was telling him I took the bus for a lot of years. And he goes, it must be hard to take the bus. And I go, you know what? Never get recognized. And he goes, neither do I. And I go, what do you mean? You were in Batman and Inception and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, you know what? It's talk shows and magazines, because people – they're looking – first of all, I'm not Pete Campbell. And I know you guys are expecting to see Pete Campbell here, but if you're walking down the street on Tuesday afternoon, if you're not a rabid fan of the show, or if you're not expecting to see me, you're not on the lookout for the number 5 on a TV show. But when you're infiltrated with the person at the magazine stand, at the late night talk show, which, you know, if you want to be a big star, you kind of have to do those things. If you want to be a big actor, or if you're even number 1 on a show. If I was in John Hamm's position, I kind of couldn't say no to some things. But I've been lucky enough. I've said I don't do covers. I don't – not that they're asking, but I don't pursue them. And I don't do late-night talk shows, and I don't do – unless I'm forced to – daytime talk shows. So really no one's looking for me, so they don't see me. And when they do, it's about a 50 – more people with Mad Men now because it's current. But then sometimes they'll throw in, oh, I used to watch Angel too. But Angel has a huge following. People still love that show.
That's a great show. There's a ton of cultural change happening, obviously, in the late 60s, and a lot of the young people at the firm, Peggy, you kind of see it reflected in their stories. I don't really see it reflected in Pete so much. I don't feel like that's affecting him. Does that happen more this season, or is he just sort of like blinders on business and doesn't really let the culture affect him?
Well, he's not in copy. He's not in copyright. You know, when you're coming up with a campaign, you kind of got to know what's going on in the world. You kind of got to know, okay, what is this product? Who are we selling it to? How do those people – what are they interested in? What do they want? What are they going to respond to? I'm in accounts. I'm dealing with the company owner, who's generally a 60-year-old guy. There was a scene in The Rejected where I'm on one side of the glass, Peggy's on the other. And I'm with 5 old guys in suits, and she's with a bunch of beatniks. And that was exactly what we were trying to say is – he's part of this world and she's part of that. And yeah.
But
you're right.
He has a finger on the pulse. I mean, he is in anticipating things.
That's right. No, he is, absolutely. But he has a, he does have a finger on the pulse, and especially in the first couple of seasons, he was current. You know, he didn't wear a hat. He was doing things that the older guys weren't doing. But I think it has shifted a bit. I think he's actually shifted older. You know, he's taken on the responsibility of being a partner. He's taken on a wife and kids. These things, they push you into that other segment. You can't go out and party all night long when you got a wife at home and when you have a company depending on you. You know, it's just, it's...
You're the old young.
Yeah, and moving towards the old.
Are you obsessed with those two giraffes in your house?
Love those.
I'm so obsessed with them.
I wish, honestly, I wish I could just hire Dan Bishop to, like, buy everything for my house. He's our set decorator. Phenomenal taste. And I will say Matthew Weiner has a lot of input. Matthew Weiner has phenomenal taste as well. I love those giraffes. You don't know how many times people ask about those goddamn giraffes. And how many times people ask if they can have them, if they're going to go up on auction. It's like, dude, go buy your own fucking giraffes. Those are mine.
They're available somewhere.
They got to be. You guys are fun.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nice thanks,
you.
Boss. Thank you very much.
That was Vincent Kartheiser, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure he'll go on to do great things, but it was awesome seeing him for 7 seasons on Mad Men play not the most likable character, but definitely somebody we could relate to in terms of someone who was flawed, who fathered a baby outside of his marriage and didn't take responsibility for the baby. And then again, Peggy didn't either, technically. And but got better, right? I mean, the Martin Luther King episode, he was the one who said this was a man who had a family. And I never expected Pete Campbell, of all people, to sort of be this equal opportunity, you know, more liberal than expected type character. So especially in that era. So again, he was the one who rallied for Joan. He did a lot of stuff that, you know, he was more progressive. And I think that they actually play to his strength as an actor, and I kudos to him, kudos to Matt Weiner. We will miss Mad Men, and we'll miss Pete. And who was recently, Vincent Kartheiser was on Inside Amy Schumer as one of her 12 Angry Men. So that was great. Great episode. Good job, Vincent Kartheiser. We can't wait to see what you do next. And that's our show. So thank you for tuning in. And this is part we thank everybody from NPR West to the amazing Leo who put up with my silliness, but he's always such a good sport. You guys, you should work. If you work at NPR West, you come and do a show, ask for Leo, okay? Just ask for Leo. Don't even think about it twice. Just ask for Leo. He's awesome. And our production assistant, graphic artist, Adam Janis, and our sponsor, Blue Diamond Artesian Nut Thins. Find them in the cracker aisle. And you, thanks for listening.